You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But yo, Astley.
Definitely is.
You like this song, Toby?
Yeah, of course. I'm always down for oldies.
Sing it. Sing the chorus for me, Toby.
You up. Never gonna let you down.
Never gonna turn around. Desert you. Hell yeah. Just the boys singing on a Monday. It's almost like, you know, Micah Parsons is singing that to Dan Quinn. This weekend was Fanatics Fest in New York City. Really cool moment I saw on Instagram. I don't know if you saw this, Jeff. Our guy Peter Rosenberg from ESPN New York, and ESPN does a million things up there. Peter has a little baby girl. She's probably 6 months old now is my guess. I think it was last fall. Maybe a little older, somewhere around there, little baby. And her name is, I believe, Maya, but her middle name is Jaden. And Peter posted a video of getting to meet Jaden with his little girl, and I texted him. I was like, well, did you tell her about the middle name? And his reply was, what do you think, LOL? So I think that's got to be a pretty special moment. And Jaden did all sorts of stuff, man. Jaden did a podium with Joe Montana and Dan Marino. We got to talk about this rookie card that Josh Harris
that's
paid
$500,000
for.
We
got to talk about that because I'll let callers educate me on that because the card world is crazy and there's some serious value in that. But I want to start with, you know, what is actually news has a very different definition today than maybe it did 5, 10, 20, 50 years ago. Like I'm not sure Walter Cronkite would really appreciate what the news is today. When you have a player talk about a former coach that now coaches another rival team, I find that really interesting. So this is yesterday. Kevin Durant gets traded. Kevin Durant's at Fanatics Fest for an appearance, presumably. Starts talking about the trade to Houston, how, you know, Houston was one of the teams he said he would go to. And there's a lot of really interesting stuff, but this is Kevin Durant being interviewed by Kay Adams. Kevin Durant, obviously a huge Redskins football team, Commanders, Burgundy and Gold fan. And he's never been shy about how much he loves Burgundy and Gold. But Micah Parsons happens to be standing there, also at this Fanatics Fest event. Let's hear the audio, and then we got plenty to react to.
Which is here. Do you want to recruit him to the Commanders?
Yeah.
Micah, get on in here.
I think Micah, he's not signed to the Cowboys.
I think he will be a Commander at some point in his career.
When?
I would say 2 years from now. Yo, I only rock with Dan Quinn, you know what I mean? Anybody else?
Exactly. That's all he need to rock with.
My neck hurts. You guys are too tall. I can't handle this. Micah, love you. This was just here. Do you want?
All right. So when you heard that, I mean, it's one thing for KD to say, yeah, I think he's going to be there in 2 years.
Yeah.
But so let's just lay out the facts of the matter. Micah Parsons just finished his fourth season in the NFL. He's now going to play on the fifth-year option of his rookie contract. So he's under contract. And let's be real, the team has a franchise tag looming after that fifth-year rookie option. So for KD to say in 2 years, KD knows ball, right? Like, he understands the contract mechanisms, clearly both in the NBA and in the NFL. And that's kind of interesting to me. But for Parsons, a dude that is on the Cowboys, to say, I only rock with Dan Quinn, clearly their relationship is very real and very close.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is surprising, but to hear it, it's also not surprising to come from Micah, because it feels like he's always saying stuff that's a little bit edgy at times. But yeah, I mean, it's clear that he loves Dan Quinn. I don't think that's any surprise to the matter, and I think that's why even speculation, it hasn't been as much recently, but speculation basically since he hasn't signed a new contract has been that, oh, he could end up in D.C., right? Like, until he signs a long-term deal to be in Dallas for 5 years, he absolutely has a chance to play here in D.C. because he loved Dan Quinn so much. And like we talked about last week, everyone talked about how much everyone loves Dan Quinn, and I didn't fully buy all that stuff, and I was wrong. I mean, it's so clear how much everybody loves him, so why wouldn't Micah Parsons be in that same boat? And he's one of the best pass rushers in the league. I think you welcome him with open arms if you could get him over here, and I think KD's just planting a little seed for us.
So I want to open the phones on this. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Because I know a big portion of, like, Commander's social media really believes Parsons wants to be here and that there's a path forward. I personally feel Parsons wants a fat daddy new contract. And the way Jerry operates, the way the Cowboys tend to operate, is they take a long damn time, but eventually they pay up and keep their guys. Mm-hmm. Parsons, the kind of contract you're talking about here, Myles Garrett just signed a deal that pays him $40 a year, and Myles Garrett is 30. I mean, Parsons has only played four seasons. He's only 26. He just turned 26 like a month ago. I think he would reset the market, which is almost unfathomable. That, I mean, he'd be making, what's he get to, 42 a year? To me, all is fair in love and war and NFL players wanting new contracts. So to me, what's very real is the love for Dan Quinn. But what I still have a hard time seeing, maybe ever, is Micah Parsons in Washington, certainly in 2 years. Jeffrey, I know that this stuck with you too.
Yes, it did, JP. And I would love for Micah to be on our team. But realistically, that is what Jerry Jones is playing through his head right now. He probably played this as soon as he heard KD say that crazy stuff. Man, it's not going to happen. I wanted to, though. I'm not going to lie. I would want Micah Parsons here. I mean, I hate the Cowboys, but I don't hate the players, you know? They're good. I would love it, but let's get back to reality now. Jerry is not letting that man go.
800-636-1067. I think if you think there's to me, the path here is Parsons has to force a trade and say, I want to go to Washington.
100%.
Because, I mean, what percent chance realistic do you think that could be?
I think it's more real than you could think, but I don't see how Dallas doesn't pay him and just say, you're sticking around. Because to your point, I mean, sometimes to their detriment, they wait till the last second to pay these guys. But Dak never left the building. CD hasn't left the building. I don't think they're going to let the guy that to me personally, like if I were starting a team and I had to choose one defender around the league to start the team with, I'd choose Micah Parsons. I think they understand how valuable he is, and he's versatile. He's really good. I think he's still got places that he can improve and get better at. So I don't think they would let him out, but if it were to be that he would get too frustrated for whatever reason, then maybe that could happen. So I think there is a little bit of a chance that he would ask for a trade, but the likelihood of that still isn't great.
Yeah, I just think this is like really fun June content.
Yeah, I don't think the Cowboys are the Giants either.
What do you mean?
They're not giving none of their stars to an in-conference team.
Well, I mean, let Saquon get to actual free agency, right? I don't think – dude, I mean, he's going to play on the fifth year. Then they have the tag. Maybe they wouldn't tag him again because it jumps up so ridiculously. But Jerry, he goes through this and he takes it – he costs himself money by going too far with this stuff. But eventually, like, I don't see this happening. And I know folks get really excited. I don't think it's real.
Yeah, I mean, I would love for him to be someone that you could go after, but it's also tough when you've made all these sorts of trades, JP, that if we're talking about the only way that you're getting him is via a trade, you've already traded so many picks for guys where you traded for Tunsil, and I think we like that trade. You traded for Debo, even though that one didn't cost a lot. That's still draft capital, and obviously the Lattimore trade. And the most expensive guy out of all of them in terms of draft capital, if you were going to have to trade for him, is Micah Parsons. We're talking probably multiple firsts, or at least a first and a really good player. So I think that's in a tough spot where maybe down the line they would feel that way, but you'd also be tying yourself to him for a long time, and essentially your top two guys would be Jaden and Micah Parsons, which would be up there in the league as a good a 1-2 duo in terms of offense and defense around the entire National Football League. But you have to make sure that the roster's built out. If Adam Peters feels in a couple of years that the roster is kind of in a spot where he could give up a couple of picks, like, you know, for example, right now, Philadelphia, if they traded a couple of ones, I think they could get away with it because they've got a built roster. I don't know that Washington can quite get to that point yet. So if they feel like they are, you know, and some of these rookies that they've drafted this past season, last year, some of the guys coming in on these rookie contracts start proving themselves, then maybe you feel like you can do that. But that's a lot if you're going to have to trade for him. If he hits free agency, I think that's a different story, and I think I'd definitely be willing to go top-of-the-market sort of money for him. But if you're going to have to trade for him, I don't think that that's something that makes a lot of sense.
Dude, I mean, just this coming year, they don't have a second or a fourth rounder. So right now, you're looking at five picks for the organization, and three of those are day threes. You're right. I don't think Parsons ever truly hits free agency. I think they do get a deal wrapped up in Dallas. But damn, he's good. Like, obviously, you'd love to have him. And I think it's cool how much he loves DQ. And I'm sure it goes beyond that. Like, I'm sure it's Joe Witt. I'm sure there's lots of factors there. But I think it's a really fun conversation. I mean, if you look at, I mean, Dak's deal is just such a monster. But if you look at next season, they've got Dak with a $74 million cap hit, and then CD's got an almost $40 million cap hit. Eventually, you probably, I mean, you trade for Pickens. If that trade's going to be worthwhile, then you're going to have to get him a new deal. But I just think they'll make it work, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, if you're Jerry Jones and you've got those dudes there, I mean, you want to keep that core together to try and win, because otherwise it feels like a little bit of a failed era of Cowboys football, which it kind of is, right? For the fact that they haven't really won anything with Dak and with CD and the Micah Parsons. But I would think that you got to try to at least keep him, because you don't want to turn into the Cincinnati Bengals where all of your resources are going to be on one side of the football.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, Dak has been good for a while in Dallas. Dak's regular season record as a starting quarterback, he's 30 games over 500. And maybe you don't want wins, losses as a stat for QBs. I'm just saying that they've played good football down there. And just the playoffs have been abysmal. In 7 playoff starts, Dak is 2-5. All right, let's hit these phones, man. Do you think this Micah Parsons stuff is real or just kind of fun conversation between two dudes?
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Let's get out to Rusty, who is in Delaware. Rusty, what's going on?
You in Bethany?
I am.
I'm in Dagsboro, about 20 minutes from you.
My man.
Hey, I think this is all just fun and games. I mean, Dallas not re-signing a player like Micah Parsons, that would almost be like Washington not re-signing a player like Terry McLaurin. So I don't think that that's going to happen. I think this is all fun. But if it ever does get to the point to where Micah can force his way out of there, sounds like he knows where he would want to go. But I think we're going to see him in that Cowboys star for the rest of his career. And, guys, you were just talking about Dak. I mean, I think enough people spent enough time last week on Dak's legacy. We don't even need to go there any longer. Thanks, Nick Nicole.
Appreciate it, Rusty. Yeah, I mean, it feels like, you know, that ship has kind of sailed. I don't know that we need to talk more about Dak and the frustrations there. But, I mean, it's a good point that if something were to come up, JP, if he were to want out of Dallas, I think your top destination for Micah Parsons would be right here in Washington as long as Dan Quinn is here, which is a good thing to have because Dante Fowler was someone last year that talked about, hey, I want to play for Dan Quinn, and he came here even if it was just for a year before he went back to Dallas. Like, people want to play for Dan Quinn. That's very, very apparent. And when you've got guys like Micah Parsons, maybe he ends up wanting to come here because he gets frustrated by the situation in Dallas.
Yeah, well, let's let the callers weigh in. Do you think this Micah Parsons Washington stuff is real? Because I think the love for DQ, very real. The rest of it, I don't know.
I mean, he's not going to take a discount to come here. Like, to your point, like, it's not as if he's going to take less than the top of the market when another team's offering that to come here. If it's, you know, real close between a couple of teams, not talking about the Cowboys, but if it were close between a couple of teams and he had to choose, maybe he would take like a million less or something like that to come here, but it's not going to be significantly less. It's just a tough
spot. For sure.
Yeah, it's just a tough spot. I don't know where you end up with this. Like, I could definitely see if he becomes available, Washington being interested, but like we were talking about, it's just you're going to have to give up so much in a trade if you want to go after him. So I don't see them doing that. But if he hits free agency, then I think everything is on the table.
Well, and dude, you just traded a third rounder for Pickens, and he's in the last year of a deal. You really going to let him walk after you invest a third rounder in what, a one-year rental?
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of moving parts for Jerry, and Lord knows he's kind of senile, so who knows what the hell is going to happen. You know where they're not – let's keep the phone lines open on that. I think it's really interesting because I know a lot of people think the Parsons 2DC stuff is very real. I want to hear from them. Tell me why you think it's real. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What I know is real, the Orsman Automotive Group of Virginia. They've been serving area car buyers in the DMV for over 100 years, and with that kind of track record, you know they're doing something right. My wife and I both drove to the beach this weekend, and we both drove in Orsman Fairfax Toyota cars. I've gotten all our cars serviced there. The boys over there do a hell of a job. Garv, Jaime, like, it's a well-run organization, man. They always give me a loaner. I love the loaners, dude. I love driving random cars. I always enjoy that. But it's not just Toyotas. They got whatever you're looking for. Kia, Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, GMC, Chevy, Buick, those big old Ram trucks my boy Kerwin wants. They do it all. Plus, they've got great deals. They've got quality certified used vehicles you can choose from. And it's all backed up by the Orsman Lifetime Edge. Up to $1,500 in extras, including complimentary car washes, and most importantly, the lifetime engine guarantee. And here's another thing to consider. If you're looking to sell your car, say you bought a new one and aren't sure what to do, Orsman will pay you up to 125% of Kelley Blue Book value. Not just 100%, 125%. Make a little money off that old beater you got. Take it from me. Take it from B, who's bought 100 cars from Billy and Chantilly. We are satisfied Orsman customers. You can be too. Let's ride together. B. Mitchell Finley, 1067 The Fan. Micah Parsons says he loves Dan Quinn. Kevin Durant says Micah Parsons should be a Washington Commander in 2 years. How real do you think this is? Toby, let's hit these phones, bruh.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Let's get out to Bill in Germantown. Bill, what's going on?
Parsons doesn't fit the Commander's culture, and I think that's dead in the water right there.
Why?
Well, the Commander's culture is team first. We play as a unit, and I don't think Parsons fits that culture.
Dude, he played for Quinn, and Quinn loves him, and he loves Quinn.
Does he? How about Peters and everybody else? Does he really fit the culture? I've had questions about that.
Well, it also doesn't help. I mean, when you play in an organization like Dallas that is so much about everything else other than football, I think it's totally different if you were playing somewhere else. Like, if he came in here, I understand your point, but if he were to come in here, I think he's more apt to fall in line with what they're doing versus when you're in Dallas, there's so much extra stuff going on. How could you blame someone else for getting into extra stuff as well?
I think DQ is a kind of, if you are committed to Quinn and Peters, because they are in lockstep, like, if you're committed to Dan Quinn and you are there busting your ass and putting in the work and competing on every play, every snap, every rep in practice, I can't imagine DQ cares if you have a podcast. Like, I mean, these are dudes, like, pro football coaches understand that pro football players are going to have other interests. And eventually these become, like, real financial interests. And I think if you told me Parsons doesn't fit here and he hadn't played for the guy, I would feel differently. But he knows exactly what DQ's about. And DQ knows what Parsons is about.
Good point, JP.
I appreciate
the call, man.
Yeah,
thank you.
I think it's interesting because another guy had a podcast when he was coming here, and I didn't feel like I saw any clips from it in Austin Eckler. Now, that's a totally different guy. I'm not comparing him and Parsons. They're two different personalities, but it feels like once you get in this building, you know, regardless of what you were at your previous destination, if you're bought in, you're going to fall in line with what the standard is. And I think when you look at Dallas, there's so much extra stuff going on. Jerry Jones can't yell at someone for having a podcast when he's doing everything but football all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's a big deal.
I think that's fair, but, like, just to the point on Eckler, like, I don't – White Brian, see if Eckler's podcast is still going, because maybe that is not happening now. But Eckler still has business opportunities.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he's, like, developing his own app to work with he basically wants to create, like, a way for fans to directly, like, text players. And they have to pay for the access, but then you get to talk to the players, and you know it's, like, legitimate. And I just did an interview with Eckler for the podcast. He does a ton of charity work. He's got, like, he's always embraced fantasy football, and he's still doing that. So I don't know that, like, I think if there is an expectation that people kind of check their side interests at the door in Ashburn, I don't know that that's completely accurate is all I'm saying.
800-636-1067. Let's get out to Carlos in Maryland. Carlos, what's up?
Hello, guys. Man, this is a dream come true. I'm talking to a DMV legend, Mr. Intelligent, and the funniest man on the radio.
Toby?
Toby's Mr. Intelligent. And of course, JP, you're, of course, the DMV legend, and Jeff's the funniest man on the radio.
Wow. I'm a little offended I'm not the funniest, but I'll take the compliment.
I appreciate the compliment.
But with
Toby
the Commanders,
also hates summer.
With the Commanders, right? I might only be a 16-year-old Cowboys fan, but unbiasedly, I really don't think Parsons will go to D.C., and I have a good reasoning. It's just, it's not that he doesn't love Dan Quinn and Dan Quinn doesn't love him and that he wouldn't play for Dan Quinn. What it is Washington, though, may be such a legendary franchise like the Cowboys, band for band, they cannot compete with the Cowboys. And though Jerry always takes the longest to pay people, he will have a bag big enough to give to Parsons eventually. And it's all about the money for somebody like, you know, everybody in the NFL. So even though he'd want to play for Dan Quinn or prefer to play for Dan Quinn over anybody, if he doesn't get the money he deserves or think he wants, then he won't go there, which is the only reason I think he wouldn't go to Washington. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it, Carlos.
Yo, it's a good call, but hold on. What was your name? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What was your name?
Carlos.
Carlos, where are you from?
Maryland.
Why are you a Cowboy fan?
I'm a Cowboys fan because of my great-grandfather who passed it down to my dad and then me, so.
I can't argue with family, I suppose. Thank you for the call, Carlos. It was well said. Jerry's got the bag. Like, if there's anything Jerry's got, it's the bag. And I do tend to agree with him that I think a deal gets done eventually.
Yeah, I would agree. I think at some point you'll see him sign that big contract. Jerry doesn't like to let stars go. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Jay in D.C. Jay, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas, man? Good to talk to y'all. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, JP, don't be offended, man. You might not be the funniest guy on the radio, but you can go for the most funniest looking. How about that, man? So you'll take that?
I'll take it all day, bro.
All right, cool. Hey, no, my point was, I believe the frustration is real from Parsons. And then, you know, so I understand how he could be frustrated. But when it comes down to it, when it comes down to the put up, Jerry Jones going to put up. And that money going to squash all that. So, and I think he and Mike will know when he gets paid, he won't get paid. So, it's a slight chance of him coming to D.C., but I don't think it's going to happen because, like I said, when time comes to pay him, Jerry's going to pay him. And he, like I said, he got the money to pay the extras, the luxury taxes and all that. So, Mike is not going nowhere, as far as I'm concerned. It's a slight, I'd say about 10% chance he leaves, but 9% chance he's going to re-sign with Dallas and probably retire with him.
Appreciate it, Jay. Yeah, I mean.
I think you're dead on.
He definitely is. I mean. The chances of him becoming available are slim, and the chances of him becoming available for anything other than a trade is highly unlikely. So it just becomes so, so pricey to do it otherwise. But I would love for him to be in D.C. I think it's just a bit of a pipe dream, though, that he would actually end up here.
I agree, bro. I really do. I think it's a fun conversation, and the thing I think people should take from that is I think the relationship between DQ and Parsons is very legitimate, and I think it speaks to the relationships DQ has with players all over. Let's keep hitting these phones.
800-636-1067. Let's get out to Mike in Connecticut. Mike, what's going on?
How's it going? So the way I'm looking at it is 2026, Dak, CD, and a franchise tag, Micah Parsons, that's going to cost the Cowboys over $150 million. That's half the salary cap. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money Jerry has. The salary cap is going to restrict it. So they're handcuffed at this point. They're not going to be able to keep signing these big names. And like you said, George Pickens, are they going to just let him go? No. So he's going to have to figure something out. He would rather play for Dan Quinn. I think we can pretty safely assume that he loves playing for Dan Quinn. If he wants to play for Dan Quinn, he knows he's as good as he is. He's going to want to be in a good environment that makes him better. He's going to want to play to the best of his ability, and he's going to be willing to give up a little bit of money for that. All the big players do when they want to be happy, they're either going to get that huge check or they're going to be happy playing. And if he's willing to take a team-friendly contract, I mean, they might franchise tag him for a year, but he's going to be dragging his feet the whole way. He's not going to be playing 100% because he's not going to be happy where he is. Yes, he's a professional. He's going to play well enough. But it's totally possible that the Cowboys have no choice but to let him walk. And where is he going to go? He's going to go into the open arms of Dan Quinn. And I don't know. I'm not saying it will happen. Maybe he gets his payday. But if he walks, I could very easily see him ending up here.
It's a good Appreciate call, man. It, I mean, it's not crazy to suggest that. We're going to keep these phone lines going. Will Kunkel is going to join us from Houston talking about this Kevin Durant trade at noon. Your call's next. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for B. Mitch today. He'll be back tomorrow alongside JP. Taking your calls right now at 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. What do you make of the comments from Kevin Durant with Kay Adams talking about, hey, Micah Parsons, come on down to D.C. We'll see you in a couple of years. And Micah Parsons saying that he likes Dan Quinn, but nothing else. Would you see a chance? Could you see a chance in the future? Micah Parsons wearing the burgundy and gold, 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Comandante Tequila. Comandante, what's going on?
Nothing much, buddy.
I don't know what that was.
Yo.
Hey, Joe's ain't gonna lose him. I don't think so. He got money problems and he's all tied up. Eventually have to lose players and
appreciate the phone call, Commander. We gotta move on.
He know better.
That was a heck of a ride for 30 seconds. Well, whatever that was wild. Let's get out to Nick in Maryland. Nick, what's going on?
Man, I just want to say, never say never. I've been talking about this for almost 2 years, and I know I was trying to jump on the bandwagon and be first. But B. Mitch told me last week it would never happen. And guess what? I know it has not happened yet. I know that. But I've been waiting for this to come all the way through to fruition, and I'm hoping it does, to be honest with you, man. That would be the icing on the cake for this team. I really believe that. And I stopped hating the Cowboys to the point where I didn't want them on my team when we started winning with some players from that team. Last year, our best rusher was the Cowboys. And it's a business now, man. It's been a business for a long time. I'm just now catching on. I'm 65 years old. But I think he would be a tremendous addition. Bottom line is, never say never.
Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, is it likely? No. Could it happen? Certainly. I mean, like I said before, when you look at what Dan Quinn did when he got here, something that so many people talked about when he was hired as the head coach is how many people like this guy, whether it's working with him as a coach, whether it's coming to play for him. And I was like, okay, sure, that means something, but how much does it really mean? But I think you saw in year one, Bobby Wagner coming over, Zach Ertz coming over, the whole coaching staff staying into year two, basically. I think you saw that people like to be around this guy, and I think there is something to that. Now, you know, a caller last segment was basically saying, hey, he'll take less, and he'll be willing to come in here and play just so he can be happy with Dan Quinn. I'm not so sure about that because Myles Garrett, remember what was happening early this offseason with him? And it was basically, hey, I'm frustrated. I'm tired of playing losing football. Get me out of here. Trade me somewhere else. And then the Cleveland Browns offered him $40 million a year. And he said, you know what? I've always loved playing in Cleveland. Suddenly, it doesn't feel so bad. That contract, 4 for $160 million with total guaranteed, it looks like of $123.5 million. Yeah, suddenly you feel a little bit better about yourself, saying, you know what, I'll stay where I'm at. So I'm not necessarily buying the idea that, oh, he'll take a big-time discount. Like, he's going to have to be paid top dollar to come play here. He's going to have to be paid top-of-the-market money, which Myles Garrett set at $40 million a year. I mean, you're going to be paying him $41, $42 million to come play here, not next season, but probably after that. And I think that could be a real possibility, but the tough part is I don't see Dallas letting him go. I think Dallas always has these bad negotiating tactics. Dallas always had these, they don't fully understand how to do the business of football, where generally, if you're earlier, if you're first, or at least one of the early ones, that's when you can get a deal. When you sign a guy who sets the market a lot of times, or at least is close to the top of the market, but then you end up with the deal because other people look at that the rest of the offseason and base their contracts off of that. They've ended up hurting themselves the last couple of years by doing this with CD. They did it with Dak. They're probably going to do it again with Parsons. And it always gets done. That's the common theme. But you end up in a spot where you're paying more than you probably should. And that's totally fine with me. I hope Dallas continues to do poor negotiating tactics, and I hope they suck. But I would love for Micah Parsons to end up here. I just don't think the likelihood is very high. But when you look at Micah Parsons, the player, he's one of the best in the league. In my opinion, if I had to start a team and that I was picking a defensive player to be my guy, it'd be Micah Parsons. He's that good.
Hey, yo, Toby, I got to say I agree with the last call or never say never. We never thought we would see Brett Favre not in the Packers uniform. We never thought we would see Tom Brady not in the Patriots uniform. So it can't happen. It's the business. We never thought we would see Saquon Barkley in the Eagles uniform. It can't happen. And shoot, if it work out, we never know. We never know. Micah could see. What if we do go back to the NFC Championship this year? And he see like, oh, man, that team really competing for a championship. Maybe I would take a less pay. We never know.
Yeah, and I mean, the clear, obvious hole on this team right now is a legit pass rusher. There's no question about that. And he gives you some flexibility and that understanding that you've had success in that defense before. Not even just the relationship that he has with Dan Quinn, but the relationship he has in terms of, I know I can fit into his defense and he's going to get the most out of me. I mean, maybe, but I don't say that there's a high, I wouldn't say that there's a high percentage chance that it happens, but I would absolutely love for that to be the case because I think the timeline too would work out where you could pay him a lot of money and you're going to have to pay him a lot of money, but maybe you could front load some of that before you have to pay Jaden. And Terry McLaurin is probably, assuming you know he's going to get his contract situation figured out, Terry McLaurin's probably coming off the books around the time that Jaden Daniels' contract is going to start kicking in, and that's going to be a ridiculous amount of money for him. So, yeah, I mean, there's always the possibility, and maybe he gets frustrated in Dallas, but I've never gotten the sense that he is frustrated with the Dallas Cowboys organization. Maybe he gets frustrated with the complacency where they're constantly middle of the road, and yeah, sometimes they win 12 games, but then they fizzle out in the playoffs. Maybe he gets to that point, but I don't know. I don't necessarily. So our first caller said that he doesn't fit the culture here, and I don't fully agree with that, but I also understand his point. I get frustrated by the amount of stuff that you see coming out of Micah Parsons' podcast. I wouldn't want that here. I wouldn't want to constantly be having to listen and watch and make sure that he's not saying anything to throw fuel on the fire for someone else. And the worst thing possible would be if this team lost to the Eagles, and next thing you know, some Eagles cornerback is on there chopping it up with him, talking about what's going on in football. I can't stand that sort of stuff. That's new age stuff. I get it. And that's kind of the new age media player personalities mixing together. But that being said, that talented of a football player, sometimes you put up with some extra stuff, right? Like sometimes you put up with a little bit of the drama, a little bit of the extra stuff. And I think this team has built a culture that they could probably bring someone like that in and it would work out just fine. Let's get back out to the NBA. Will Kunkel from Houston going to join us next. Want to get his thoughts on Kevin Durant, the DMV native. He's on the move once again. He's going to Houston. Does that put Houston over the top in the Western Conference? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
High noon in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. I believe we're going to get to the Rude Guest Hotline here, and we're going southwest. Will Kunkel covers all things Houston sports. Obviously, a huge trade this weekend with the Rockets bringing in Kevin Durant. A lot of questions with this one. Will, what's up, dude? How are you?
Good, brother. Just landed in Cabo, so hopefully my service holds up and my cocktail takes a minute to get here.
I got to say, I'm quite jealous that you just landed in Cabo. We'll start there. But you're not the only Houstonian on the move, I guess. A big, big trade to bring Kevin Durant to town, including sending away Jalen Green. What do you make of this pick, of the move?
It's a great move. I love it. Like, Jalen Green was not it. And if a team wants Jalen Green, by all means, go get Jalen Green and see if you can turn him into something. But the Rockets are in a situation where they can win right now, and they need a dude that can go out there and score points. Like, Jalen was irrelevant for 6 out of 7 games in the playoffs. Like, it's not just a one-game deal like it is in the NFL, and you got to wait a year to come back. He had 7 games, and he couldn't do it. This is a great move for the Rockets, and they'll probably re-sign Durant to probably a 2 or 3 year extension is my guess.
Where does this put them in terms of matching up with OKC going into next season?
Man, I think like I think we saw, like, OKC's obviously a champion, but they're not one of the greatest teams of all time. Now, with that said, I think they certainly get better next year. They've been there. They've done that. I think the guys are going to mature and gel probably even more. But the Rockets are right there with them, especially now that they have a dude that can go get a bucket whenever he wants it. Plus, he can go get it down the stretch in crunch time. That was the thing that they were missing all year last year. They did not have a guy with the onions down the stretch to do what he wanted to do.
When you look at Durant and kind of everything he's got going now, I think he's 38 now, 37 maybe. One of the greatest basketball players of all time. That Phoenix situation seemed just like a disaster. But this is not a dude that gives you full seasons. Like, I think on your point, like, to the surface, hell yeah. The Rockets were really good and just added one of the best players ever. But what is the other side here? Are you nervous at all about, you know, a dude that hasn't played a full season in, I mean, probably a long time?
I mean, I don't think I'm nervous. It's because he put up all the numbers. Like, he shot over 50%, averaged 27 points a game. Like, he's still got it. And obviously the way that this league goes, load management is going to be a key point for him, which is actually beneficial for the Rockets because they got so much young talent that they want to develop as well. Cam Whitmore, Reed Shepard going to get significantly more minutes as well. So I think it's a good place for them to – don't have to go 100% of the time next year like they did this year. Like, they won a lot of games last year just because they were the hardest playing team on the court night in and night out. Not that they won't be that team this year, but now they don't have to be every single night, and they can kind of figure some things out and ramp up into the playoffs. So I think that'll help Kevin and his health as well.
Was there some surprise that you could get him? Obviously you give up Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks, but only giving up the one first round pick, 5 second round pick, sure, but only having to give up the one first-round pick after we saw Desmond Bane draw 5 first-round picks, only the one, is that a little bit of a surprise?
Man, yes, but then also you kind of look at everything, and it was a mere supply and demand situation. Like, it was the best offer on the table. The Phoenix Suns are in Barney. Like, they needed to get rid of him in order to move forward. So they were caught in a bad spot. He didn't want to go to Minnesota, so that offer wasn't really there. San Antonio wasn't making a great bid. So it just was what it was, and the Rockets are in a great situation to where they have the picks. They have these Phoenix Suns picks even because that's how bad of a spot Phoenix is in. So I was surprised, but when you look at the totality of how they got there, it makes sense, and it's just great fortune for the Rockets.
Talking with our buddy Will Kunkel here on the Rude Guest Hotline. If it ain't rude, it ain't right. You can follow Will on Twitter, at Will Kunkel, with a V at the end. Are you the fifth? Is that what that is?
Did we
loot? Well, he did just...
Got me?
Yeah, there he is.
Well, dude, so... I'm very curious with the Houston market because I know the Rockets are a really big deal down there, but Houston's also such a huge city. What is, like, in D.C., dude, the reality is the football, the Commanders, the artists formerly known as Redskins, dominate the city, right? What, good, bad, ugly, everybody just talks about the Skins all the time. And then the other teams, it's like when they're good, they become more of a topic. What is the breakdown like in Houston?
I think so. The Astros winning put them ahead of on the rise. Like,
we'll throw him back on hold and see if we can get that phone situation figured out. He's enjoying Cabo, so
I'm jealous.
I fully blame him. But JP, were you surprised when you saw this trade go down with the KD stuff? Were you surprised? I mean, we all knew he was getting moved. It felt like, but were you surprised to see him end up in Houston?
Not really. I feel like Houston had been one of the rumored spots for a while. Maybe I heard the Spurs. I feel like I've also heard the Spurs for Giannis. One thing I don't get, if I was Durant and... All right, Jeff, just shoot Will a text and say thanks very much, and we'll do it another time. I think... The one thing, dude, so Tatum's blown Achilles too, right?
Yeah.
With the Celtics?
Yep.
So Tatum's a blown Achilles. Now Halliburton, sadly, unfortunately, last night, blown Achilles. I mean, the East is so wide open. I'm almost surprised, like, Durant didn't want to come East.
And maybe join the Wiz.
KD to DC. My boy Jed was selling T-shirts.
Let's Wizards going on a Eastern Conference Finals run next year, JP.
I never know.
Yeah, but I think the KD stuff is interesting because, I mean, for the brief time that we were able to get him there, Jalen Green had kind of fallen into, and this is sometimes what I worry about when you have young players that come into any league, and they're supremely talented, but they never play winning ball of any sort. And that was Jalen Green, and eventually he got to the point where they were winning, but he still wasn't playing winning basketball. Like, what's to make me believe that if the Charlotte Hornets were to turn a corner, that when it gets crunch time, LaMelo Ball knows how to win basketball games? Because he's never done it. So I think that's where they ran into a problem with Jalen Green is he's super talented, but I don't think he understands how to win NBA basketball games. And that's an issue when you're trying to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, totally. I think for what you got, I don't even think they paid that high of a price.
No.
Dude, Dylan Brooks, I bet they're happy to get out of town. That guy is such a pain in the ass. And to get Durant with kind of the talent they have built around him, I say this in football, and I understand how different sports are, but like guys that get traded a lot, I always just kind of wonder what they are in the locker room or whatever. And I guess, I mean, Tunsil's now in that world, right? Like he's on his third team, and they've all been trades and not like free agency. Durant, dude, has now played. This will be his fifth team in 17 years.
It's crazy.
I know in the NBA, maybe baseball too, like players tend to bounce around a lot more than other spots. But like, I mean, I remember the seismic shift it felt when he went to Golden State, when people here were daydreaming that he was coming to town. Mm-hmm. And then Brooklyn was supposed to be a super team, and that was a disaster. There was that one playoff run where he got hurt, right?
Yeah, I mean, he got hurt in the finals against the Raptors because he came back a little bit early with a calf thing. It's when he blew out the Achilles. Like, it is crazy seeing him bounce around, and it's weird because it feels like after Brooklyn, because Brooklyn was really, really good when they had Kyrie and him, they had James Harden, and they really probably could have beat Milwaukee in that playoff series if his toe wasn't on the line, but it was, and they end up losing that playoff series. He kind of carried them.
That was crazy. Yeah.
It feels like since then he's been irrelevant, and it's a shame because KD is such a good player. He's so fun to watch. He's one of the best players of this generation, but are you going to remember a single moment of him with the Phoenix Suns? I think that's going to be almost one of those ones where you see in 15 years someone throws a picture at you of KD in a Suns uniform, like, oh, that's right, he did play in Phoenix. Because just nothing memorable happened while he was there.
Dude, I'm a KD fan. Like, he's from here, I'm from here. I've always rooted for Kevin Durant. His resume is crazy impressive. 15-time All-Star, 4-time scoring champ, 11-time All-NBA. He was Rookie of the Year. He was a Finals MVP twice. He won League MVP once. So maybe this is crazy, especially he's won 2 rings in the Golden State days. But do you feel like Durant has fully achieved his full potential?
I mean, I think he has. I think in terms of as a player, he definitely has. But maybe his career and his reputation and his legacy isn't going to reach the full potential, because you would think that as a player that is that good, to be kind of bouncing around all over the place and outside of, I mean, really, even when Brooklyn, when he went on that playoff run, it's not like that playoff run for him was super memorable. Like, you're going to remember him as a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're going to remember him winning championships with the Warriors and his decision to go there. After that, it's not like he's been a worse player, but he hasn't been just a, because so much of the NBA, LeBron was kind of bemoaning this the other day, basically saying ring culture this and ring culture that. Like, it is built on stars, but it's built on stars that play for championships or at least make playoff runs. And KD hasn't really done that since he's left Golden State, which is a shame. Like, my favorite thing watching, did you watch the USA or the Court of Gold documentary about Team USA basketball and the Olympics and everything?
Yes.
I mean, you fall in love with Kevin Durant every time you watch him talk about basketball and playing for the United States of America, and that stuff is all awesome. But it's just, I don't think you could say that he hasn't reached his full potential, but maybe his legacy is going to be a little bit tainted by these last couple of years of his career where he's just kind of bouncing around, even though he's playing well.
Jeff, what do you say to that?
With KD and his career, I'm not surprised that he's on his 15 because of the fact that KD has not been one of them guys that's like emotionally attached to a team. Wherever the business takes him, it takes him. Like, for instance, when he ended up with the Warriors, everyone was like, oh, how could you do that? They just beat you. Now you joining them, blah, blah. That was never the thing for KD. He always wanted to be a part of a team. He never wanted to, even though his talent made him the superstar that everyone focused on, he has made it quite clear that, you know, it's a team sport for him. So he wants to be on the team that gives him the best opportunity. So I'm not surprised. And, yo, I support him in every move he makes because he's doing what's best for him, his career, and the business following his contract.
You know what's interesting, I think, with Durant is like, maybe it's who he always was and it just came out over time. Maybe as he amassed, I mean, is Durant a billionaire? Like, I imagine his career earnings are pretty outrageous, and I think he's done some really, really smart business stuff. I don't want to say became a jerk, right? Because I think he's just being himself. But he just seems to care so little about anyone and everyone. And I'm sure he has people close to him, whatever it may be. But, like, I don't know. He seems like what do they call him? Wrestling? A heel turn?
Yeah,
right?
A little bit of a heel, yeah.
Like, he's just, he doesn't care. He's embraced it. And then, I mean, even how he is on social media. Jeff, help me understand this. I'm not too familiar with Little B, the base god's work. But so I just saw this. This dude, Little B, the base god, has 1 million followers. And he tweeted out last night, Kevin Durant really ain't about no basketball. You got no real paper. I can't read fully what he wrote here. There's a lot of expletives. But Durant, like, responded to him, like, calling him a broke boy. Like, how frequently are there engagements like this? You know what I'm like, dude, so if we were talking about the Commanders, we'd be like, oh, I don't know, he fits the culture. You know what I'm saying? And basketball's very different, but.
Yeah, see, the thing with Kevin Durant, so he didn't just, it's not like he's just lashing out on it. This all started from the internet trolls, you know? And Lil B is one of them trolls. Lil B is a guy who can't rap. He had a song called Paris Hilton, and it was horrible. He's just a troll. But KD, it came a time in his career where KD, people was talking about, you know, it was like, yo, how he got all that money and he don't brush his hair and he be ashy and all this stuff. They was asking him questions, and he basically was like, yo, how y'all doing all this talking and y'all broke? And he was going back at him. Me personally, yo, people on the internet are mean. If you keep on poking at a dog, it's eventually going to bite you. And it's not like KD grew up in some soft area. He grew up in PG County. He played basketball amongst the Sharks. AAU basketball back in the day. I mean, it's still competitive now, but the dogs came from the DMV. You had to be tough. If you were good, you were quiet. Nah, you still had to toughen up. Now that they brought that out of him, and I'm not mad at him. And Lil B, how you talking trash? You can't beat KD in ball. And hey, I ain't gonna lie, I think KD could probably beat Lil B in the rap battle.
Could you beat him?
Yes, yes. If I had some time to write, yes, Lil B is garbage.
Could wild card Scotty beat him?
They rap the same.
Yo, but you lost to wild card Scotty, Jeff.
But that's also because I wasn't taking him serious and I was laughing the entire time. And I tell y'all all the time, I'm not a freestyler. I'm a writer. You know, I have songs that I have written, but bringing it back to Lil B, yo, he's trash. Like, the best song he ever had was with the Pack, and that was I Got My Vans On, But They Look Like Sneakers.
Oh, I like that song. I know that song.
That's the only good song he ever had. Other than that, he was calling himself a pretty woman, but not using a woman word, using the derogatory. He was calling himself a pretty female dog. UK rap. He was relevant because of his antics.
I got to be honest. That's probably about 80 seconds longer than I needed on Little B. I wish him luck in his career, in his endeavors. But he and I are. Yo, what if we get Little B mad at Jeff?
I'm totally down with that.
Look, the Little B curse. He say he cursed people, but you can't touch. You can't curse someone that's anointed. So I'm good. I ain't worried about that, man.
Dang.
I don't even know what that meant.
It means I'm godly, JP. I'm godly. He can't do that to me.
You know the meme where it's like, I ain't going to read all that, but I'm happy for you or sorry that it happened?
Yes.
That's the last 4 minutes of this conversation.
You're the one who asked for it, JP.
You're right. You are right, Jeffrey. I did ask. I have a very inquisitive mind. Sometimes that takes me to places I don't belong. Here's what I do know. The NBA draft is this week. I think I'm in on Malawach. I saw Bickle this morning, watched Malawach, and is out on him. I think I'm a Con Knipple guy. Nobody wants to hear that. I don't even know if Con Knipple will get to six.
What do you make of Ace Bailey? Are you in on the Ace Bailey sweepstakes if he falls to six?
Let's have an Ace Bailey discussion. When we return, it's B. Mitch and Finley and Jeff and Little B the Base God. I just got hit with Toby.
What's that?
I have to pay my dues for the Pro Football Writers of America. I just got hit 75 bones.
That's Thanks always fun.
Right. It's like getting a speeding ticket in the mail. So I've actually really been enjoying. I used to love. Sadly, Bickle got to do this with quarterbacks all the time because Washington was always in search of a new quarterback. So the Junks would do this thing where Bickle would watch film in a commercial break and then give his grade on a quarterback prospect. And his instincts often were very correct. I think I enjoyed that. Now we're in a world where we're not looking at quarterbacks for a very, very long time, you know? So now EB's doing this with draft prospects in basketball. And he looked at Malawach today, and Bickle said, he's a massive human but a one-dimensional role player. Hard for me to imagine them taking him at six. The Malawach stuff has been really interesting. David Aldridge had this awesome article. Did you read DA's draft confidential thing, Toby?
No, I haven't had a chance to read it, but I know he's been all over Malawach as a potential guy for DC. He mentioned the Thunder as part of the reason, seeing how Chet is used, having Hartenstein be able to help out at times to be that true big and letting Holmgren play the floor, even though they were playing him at the five a lot last night. Like, I'm down with that idea. I think that it helps out. It sets an identity defensively, but no, I haven't read that specific piece yet.
Well, he just talks about kind of evaluations. Malawach are all over the place, and maybe he doesn't get past 14, but nobody's exactly sure where he'll go. I think maybe the Spurs have the 14th pick, so imagine Malawach with Wemby. Goodness gracious. But it's a really good article. DA also talks about Derek Queen, where he might go, and it seems like folks are very split on Queen's game. Questions about what he can do defensively. But offensively, he's so gifted. If you get him in the right system, how he can just be an up-tempo kind of guy. For the Wiz at six, more and more, people are saying Ace Bailey could get there. And I listened to Russillo's podcast, and he had the Rutgers coach on. And let's just all kind of give our thoughts on Ace Bailey. Undeniably gifted, 6'9", freshman, average 19 points per game, can get to the rack. He's just this the prototypical NBA wing, I would say, just like big, long, athletic, can do it all. But this, to me, as a draft pick, is purely on potential. Like, you don't know what he is yet. And one thing that's been weird, so I listened to an interview with Ace Bailey's college coach from Rutgers. He said, love him, great kid. You know, he's going to be a part of this thing for a long time. And his college coach said all the right things about him. But the other part of this that we know is Ace Bailey's refusing to take any of these pre-draft workouts. As of now, Bailey has declined workouts from the Sixers, the Hornets, and Utah. Like, just said, hey, I'm not coming, right? And those are the teams in front of Washington. There's some, I guess, belief that, like, he wants to be in D.C. I think, based on what I've read, is that he wants minutes. He wants to be able to get shots right away. And I guess in D.C., he can do that. Russillo, who's like a foremost NBA expert, I would say, says that Bailey kind of chose sketchy representation. I guess his agent is a dude without much, without a lot of, like, other clients. And I think you can kind of see maybe some, I don't know, maybe just inexperience in how they're handling Ace Bailey's pre-draft workout. White Brian, who is it? I guess you know who it is, the agent?
It's Sharif Cooper's dad, former Auburn Tiger, Warrior.
How many clients does this dude have?
I believe it's just Sharif Cooper.
That gives me a little pause. Like, what is Ace Bailey's relationship to Sharif Cooper or Mr. Cooper? Are they like?
I gotta
related?
Imagine they are friendly. I don't know the direct relationship.
It seems like there's some inexperience, because even if you maybe don't want to get drafted by the Sixers or something, the more interest you can create in you being drafted third overall or fourth overall, the better it is for you.
Yeah, and this isn't a case, like, I just saw that there was a kid that had been flying all around the country to do workouts, and he just tore his Achilles. Now, he was, like, the 63rd ranked prospect, according to ESPN or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but he was probably a second-round guy. At best, he sneaks his way back into the end of the first round. And that's a little bit different than this case, where, you know, for that one, he's trying to drum up any interest at all in any team, saying, please draft me. Ace Bailey's getting drafted in the first round. You don't know where yet. I mean, consensus was, JP, when this whole situation started, it was going to be Cooper Flagg 1, either Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper 2, and then the other goes 3. And now it's looking like, because of the situation going on, also, it's not just him skipping workouts. It's the fact that he was thought to be 6'10", JP. He was thought to be this super long wing that would be Kevin Durant-esque, right, in terms of that height, and he's now measured in at like 6'7.5", which you act like it's not that big of a deal, but there are a lot of 6'7", 6'8 wings that can go out there and get a bucket. Not as many 6'10", 6'11 guys that can go get a bucket like he can. So that kind of dinged him a little bit. Then also you have this situation. I don't know, he's intriguing. To me, if I were drafting third overall, if I were the 76ers, I wouldn't take him. I think there's too much risk there. But when you look at the guys that are probably going to get taken ahead of him, if he falls to 6, like VJ Edgecombe, I would take ahead of him. Obviously, the top two in Harper and Flagg, I'd take ahead of him. I think I would take him ahead of Maluwach. I think there's a real discussion to be had of whether you would take Ace Bailey or Trey Johnson, depending upon what you want. Trey Johnson is a very athletic, good scoring two guard, or do you want to go
fill it up?
Or do you want the Ace Bailey, who maybe is a little bit more difficult to find? But I think Ace Bailey, I understand why they want him to play, because I think he has to work on his game a lot, because the thing that he specializes in is something that a lot of NBA teams don't focus on anymore, which is a lot of dribble pull-up mid-range jump shots. And he did that a lot at Rutgers, and he knocked down a lot of difficult ones. But I don't want to live on that. And I don't want to live on a guy always taking contested jumpers, because generally that means he's not creating separation or getting to the bucket. And I don't think his handle's particularly great. But in terms of ceiling, for guys that you could get at six if he falls there, I think you got to take a shot.
I think I'd rather have Knipple. You'd rather take Bailey in the upside than Knipple.
I think so. I think Knipple definitely has the higher floor. Like, you know, he can step in and he's going to be a solid role player. And if he hits his ceiling, he can be maybe a really, really good role player. Do you see star potential in Knipple?
No, but I think he'll be the second best player on a team that wins titles.
Sure. Okay. I just don't see star potential in Knipple. And I see potential stardom in Ace Bailey. Now, it's going to take a lot of work to get there. So if you want to say, I'd rather bet on the more sure thing, then that's fine. But I think the thing that the Wizards are missing is they've got a lot of guys that could probably play into being solid role players. They're lacking the star. So I think you got to shoot for the stars in this case, especially considering you can probably find another guy next year that can fit the role player role if you don't end up with the first pick again if you get screwed. The idea is hopefully next year you're getting the number one pick.
I hear that, and I don't know that he showed us anything last year to think he's a star, but they just drafted a kid number two overall. Shouldn't that be your future star?
I mean, ideally, but then that was the whole discussion about how, of course, the Wizards get the number two pick in a draft where it's a draft that isn't thought to have any really star players, right? So I think that Alex Sarr can be that. But I think that's why you make that sort of a pick with Sarr, too, is, I mean, unique body type, unique style of play, can get up and down the floor as a seven-footer, block shots. He worked on his game, and he was, if you want to dream as a Wizards fan, go back and look at what Alex Sarr did in December. If he can get close to what he did in the month of December, then you could be looking at a star player. I think you saw as the season went on, he got better. I think Ace Bailey, though, I wouldn't take him at three, but there's not many guys that at six, assuming Edgecombe, Flagg, and Harper are gone, I think he's probably my fourth or fifth guy just because of the upside that you could get there. You have to work on some of the maturity of his game, I think, and you have to work with him on understanding what a good shot selection is. I think you got to work on his handle. I think you got to work a little bit on his ability to get to the rim. But what NBA prospect doesn't have some things you got to work on? And his ceiling, if you can iron out some of those flaws, I think is just as high as just about anybody in this draft.
Jeff, where you at on Bailey?
I don't mind him, JP. It's just if he come here with the roster that we have, we need a guy that's going to put in the effort. That's all. Because I'm not going to lie, JP, I was so sold on us getting the first pick and with Cooper Flagg. I was like, I'm speaking it into existence. Now it's like, okay, we didn't get who I wanted. Now the next player
I was also real in on Dylan Harper. I think,
Like
you guys don't remember Ron Harper, and I only remember like late in his career when he was the point guard on the second three-peat for the Bulls. But he was a dog, dude. And I just, like, I buy that stock, you know? I just, well, are you impacted with Bailey at all with all the stuff? Like, not his shot selection or his handle, but, like, why are you not taking these visits? Why are you trying to control where you go? Maybe that's just young players. They feel emboldened and they can control it. I don't know.
Yeah, my thing is, look, if you want to go somewhere and you don't make it there, now the team that you have been drafted to, you got to play. I look at it, even though this would be better for B to weigh on, but I look at it like this. If you're a person trying to manipulate where you land professionally, if you don't land that place, now your job has then become two times harder because you really can't have an off game because you're going now people are going to look at, oh, well, he didn't want to be here. Is that the reason why he's playing like this? And God forbid he come in and stink it up because, you know, it takes some time to adjust into the NBA. That's why there's a G League. Well, that's why they're development leagues in all sports, but he has a tougher job coming in now that he's trying to manipulate it. My thing is, I don't care about all of that. I like I said, I care about the effort. Wherever you land, if you land in Washington, if you're here, you better play like this the team you wanted to play for.
We need dogs. We need canines, as the great Doc Walker says. All right, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know what's about to happen. A fellow by the name of Sports Grumpy on the internet, Jeff, is it fair to say the song is about me?
Yeah, the song is definitely about you. And I've listened to it like 3 times already.
All right, we're going to play what sounds very, very weird. Song about me, next. It's B. Mitch Finley. What I just got hit with. Toby.
What's that?
I have to pay my dues for the Pro Football Writers of America. I just got hit. 75 bones.
That's always fun.
Right. It's like getting a speeding ticket in the mail. So I've actually really been enjoying I used to love, sadly, Bickle got to do this with quarterbacks all the time because Washington was always in search of a new quarterback. So the Junks would do this thing where Bickle would watch film in a commercial break and then give his grade on a quarterback prospect. And his instincts often were very correct. I think I enjoyed that. Now we're in a world where we're not looking at quarterbacks for a very, very long time, you know? So now EB's doing this with draft prospects in basketball. And he looked at Malawach today, and Bickle said, he's a massive human but a one-dimensional role player. Hard for me to imagine them taking him at 6. The Malawach stuff has been really interesting. David Aldridge had this awesome article. Did you read DA's draft confidential thing, Toby?
No, I haven't had a chance to read it, but I know he's been all over Malawach as a potential guy for DC. He mentioned the Thunder as part of the reason, seeing how Chet is used, having Hartenstein be able to help out at times to be that true big and letting Holmgren play the floor, even though they were playing him in the five a lot last night. Like, I'm down with that idea. I think that it helps out. It sets an identity defensively, but no, I haven't read that specific piece yet.
Well, he just talks about kind of evaluations. Malawach are all over the place, and maybe he doesn't get past 14, but nobody's exactly sure where he'll go. I think maybe the Spurs have the 14th pick, so imagine Malawach with Wemby. Goodness gracious. But it's a really good article. DA also talks about Derek Queen, where he might go, and it seems like folks are very split on Queen's game. Questions about what he can do defensively. But offensively, he's so gifted. If you get him in the right system, how he can just be an up-tempo kind of guy. For the Wiz at 6, more and more people are saying Ace Bailey could get there. And I listened to Russillo's podcast, and he had the Rutgers coach on. And let's just all kind of give our thoughts on Ace Bailey. Undeniably gifted. 6'9", freshman, average 19 points per game, can get to the rack. He's just this, the prototypical NBA wing, I would say, just like big, long, athletic, can do it all. But this, to me, as a draft pick, is purely on potential. Like, you don't know what he is yet. And one thing that's been weird, so I listened to an interview with Ace Bailey's college coach from Rutgers. He said, love him, great kid. You know, he's going to be a part of this thing for a long time. And his college coach said all the right things about him. But the other part of this that we know is Ace Bailey's refusing to take any of these pre-draft workouts. As of now, Bailey has declined workouts from the Sixers, the Hornets, and Utah. Like, just said, hey, I'm not coming, right? And those are the teams in front of Washington. There's some, I guess, belief that, like, he wants to be in D.C. I think, based on what I've read, is that he wants minutes. He wants to be able to get shots right away. And I guess in D.C., he can do that. Russillo, who's like a foremost NBA expert, I would say, says that Bailey kind of chose sketchy representation. I guess his agent is a dude without much, without a lot of, like, other clients. And I think you can kind of see maybe some, I don't know, maybe just inexperience in how they're handling Ace Bailey's pre-draft workout. White Brian, who is it? I guess you know who it is, the agent?
It's Sharif Cooper's dad, former Auburn Tiger, Warrior.
How many clients does this dude have?
I believe it's just Sharif Cooper.
That gives me a little pause. Like, what is Ace Bailey's relationship to Sharif Cooper or Mr. Cooper? Are they like?
I gotta
related?
Imagine they are friendly. I don't know the direct relationship.
It seems like there's some inexperience, because even if you maybe don't want to get drafted by the Sixers or something, the more interest you can create in you being drafted third overall or fourth overall, the better it is for you.
Yeah, and this isn't a case, like, I just saw that there was a kid that had been flying all around the country to do workouts, and he just tore his Achilles. Now, he was like the 63rd ranked prospect according to ESPN or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but he was probably a second round guy. At best, he sneaks his way back into the end of the first round. And that's a little bit different than this case where, you know, for that one, he's trying to drum up any interest at all in any team, saying, please draft me. Ace Bailey's getting drafted in the first round. You don't know where yet. I mean, consensus was, JP, when this whole situation started, it was going to be Cooper Flag 1, either Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper 2, and then the other goes 3. And now it's looking like, because of the situation going on, also, it's not just him skipping workouts. It's the fact that he was thought to be 6'10", JP. He was thought to be this super long wing that would be Kevin Durant-esque, right, in terms of that height. And he's now measured in at like 6'7.5", which you act like it's not that big of a deal, but there are a lot of 6'7", 6'8 wings that can go out there and get a bucket. Not as many 6'10", 6'11 guys that can go get a bucket like he can. So that kind of dinged him a little bit. Then also you have this situation. I don't know. He's intriguing. To me, if I were drafting third overall, if I were the 76ers, I wouldn't take him. I think there's too much risk there. But when you look at the guys that are probably going to get taken ahead of him, if he falls to 6, like VJ Edgecombe, I would take ahead of him. Obviously, the top two in Harper and Flag, I'd take ahead of him. I think I would take him ahead of Maluach. I think there's a real discussion to be had of whether you would take Ace Bailey or Trey Johnson, depending upon what you want. Trey Johnson is a very athletic, good scoring two guard. Or do you want to go
fill it up?
Or do you want the Ace Bailey, who maybe is a little bit more difficult to find? But I think Ace Bailey, I understand why they want him to play, because I think he has to work on his game a lot, because the thing that he specializes in is something that a lot of NBA teams don't focus on anymore, which is a lot of dribble pull-up mid-range jump shots. And he did that a lot at Rutgers, and he knocked down a lot of difficult ones. But I don't want to live on that. And I don't want to live on a guy always taking contested jumpers, because generally that means he's not creating separation or getting to the bucket. And I don't think his handle's particularly great. But in terms of ceiling, for guys that you could get at 6 if he falls there, I think you got to take a shot.
I think I'd rather have Knipple. You'd rather take Bailey in the upside than Knipple.
I think so. I think Knipple definitely has the higher floor. Like, you know, he can step in and he's going to be a solid role player. And if he hits his ceiling, he can be maybe a really, really good role player. Do you see star potential in Knipple?
No, but I think he'll be the second best player on a team that wins titles.
Sure. Okay. I just don't see star potential in Knipple. And I see potential stardom in Ace Bailey. Now, it's going to take a lot of work to get there. So if you want to say, I'd rather bet on the more sure thing, then that's fine. But I think the thing that the Wizards are missing is they've got a lot of guys that could probably play into being solid role players. They're lacking the star. So I think you got to shoot for the stars in this case. especially considering you can probably find another guy next year that can fit the role player role if you don't end up with the first pick again if you get screwed. The idea is hopefully next year you're getting the number one pick.
I hear that, and I don't know that he showed us anything last year to think he's a star, but they just drafted a kid number two overall. Shouldn't that be your future star?
I mean, ideally, but then that was the whole discussion about how, of course, the Wizards get the number two pick in a draft where it's a draft that isn't thought to have any really star players, right? So I think that Alex Sarr can be that, but I think that's why you make that sort of a pick with Sarr, too, is, I mean, unique body type, unique style of play, can get up and down the floor as a seven-footer, block shots. He worked on his game, and he was... If you want to dream as a Wizards fan, go back and look at what Alex Sarr did in December. If he can get close to what he did in the month of December, then you could be looking at a star player. I think you saw as the season went on, he got better. I think Ace Bailey, though, I wouldn't take him at three, but there's not many guys that at six, assuming Edgecombe, Flagg, and Harper are gone, I think he's probably my fourth or fifth guy just because of the upside that you could get there. You have to work on some of the maturity of his game, I think. And you have to work with him on understanding what a good shot selection is. I think you got to work on his handle. I think you got to work a little bit on his ability to get to the rim. But what NBA prospect doesn't have some things you got to work on? And his ceiling, if you can iron out some of those flaws, I think is just as high as just about anybody in this draft.
Jeff, where you at on Bailey?
I don't mind him, JP. It's just if he come here with the roster that we have, we need a guy that's going to put in the effort. That's all. Because I'm not going to lie, JP, I was so sold on us getting the first pick and with Cooper Flagg. I was like, I'm speaking it into existence. Now it's like, okay, we didn't get who I wanted. Now the next player
I was also real in on Dylan Harper. I think,
Like
you guys don't remember Ron Harper, and I only remember like late in his career when he was the point guard on the second three-peat for the Bulls. But he was a dog, dude. And I just, like, I buy that stock, you know? I just, well, are you impacted with Bailey at all, with all the stuff? Like, not his shot selection or his handle, but, like, why are you not taking these visits? Why are you trying to control where you go? Maybe that's just young players. They feel emboldened and they can control it. I don't know.
Yeah, my thing is, look, if you want to go somewhere and you don't make it there, now the team that you have been drafted to, you got to play. I look at it, even though this would be better for B to weigh on, but I look at it like this. If you're a person trying to manipulate where you land professionally, if you don't land that place, now your job has then become two times harder because you really can't have an off game. Because you're going now, people are going to look at, oh, well, he didn't want to be here. Is that the reason why he's playing like this? And God forbid he come in and stink it up because, you know, it takes some time to adjust into the NBA. That's why there's a G League. Well, that's why there are development leagues in all sports. But he has a tougher job coming in now that he's trying to manipulate it. My thing is, I don't care about all of that. I like I said, I care about the effort. Wherever you land, if you land in Washington, if you're here, you better play like this the team you wanted to play for.
We need dogs. We need canines, as the great Doc Walker says. All right, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know what's about to happen. A fellow by the name of Sports Grumpy on the internet, Jeff, is it fair to say the song is about me?
Yeah, the song is definitely about you. And I've listened to it like three times already.
All right, we're going to play what?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.